Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 6, Number 11. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I discussed the importance of chlorophyll in the diet and reviewed several reasons why it should be consumed by everyone in plentiful amounts on a daily basis. Where there is smoke, there is fire, and likewise in the same context, where there is chlorophyll, there is magnesium. Magnesium is extremely important for skeletal muscle, cardiac function, and nerve action, and plays a key role in the transfer of phosphates to ATP. This means it is essential to energy. Magnesium is alkaline forming and helps buffer acidic waste produced as a byproduct of intense physical exercise. So why do most athletes come up short in this essential element? Simple. Greens are not a priority. Unfortunately, most of us don't consume adequate quantities of green plants and their chlorophyll-rich leaves, including spinach, chard, kale, and organic greens. Therefore, I think it would be wise to consider adding a teaspoon of chlorella or spirulina to one or two of your daily protein shakes. On this edition of SNU, I'd like to investigate and discuss a new idea, an old concept, something that everyone is familiar with, I'm sure, and that is muscle memory. In general, a myth is defined as any invented story, idea, or concept, and with respect to this discussion, an unproved or false collective belief. But when accepted as truth by large numbers of people without investigation, a false myth can cause profound cultural change. Consider the vast numbers of people who have been seduced into drinking cow's milk as a staple, thinking one thing when the opposite is actually true. The commercial dairy industry is well aware of the damage to our health caused by consuming processed cow's milk derived from animals that are neither well nor fed correctly. After all, we are what we eat eats. So what large modern food corporations often do to protect their bottom line is claim the opposite of truth as fact and then make this claim to fame their crowning marketing virtue. Most people have heard of muscle memory. The concept goes something like this. When a person starts lifting weights after a layoff, it's much easier for them to return to the previous level of size and strength than it was to get there the first time around. Based on observation, it also seems to take less time. Okay, we can all agree to that. Therefore, it seems plausible that the muscle fibers themselves must somehow remember their former state and with some stimulation after layoff, but less than what was required to create the original shape the first time around, they will return to their former state and become capable of generating the same torque when forced to contract under a heavy load. So what mechanism of action can we use to explain this phenomenon? Well, first, muscle fibers do not remember anything. Muscle fibers do not have a separate, independent mind of their own. All memory is retrieved from inside the brain, which commands all action and response. Like everything else on this planet, muscle fibers simply adapt to the environment in which they are exposed to or bathed in. If they are forced to contract with a specific load causing stress, disruption, and microfilament damage, they will adapt and remodel themselves, provided the conditions required for such adaptations are met. If there is insufficient or no load for an extended period of time, they will return to their former state and then continue wasting in the absence of sufficient stimulation. What we don't use, we lose. This is called disuse atrophy. Here's the reason why progress is made more quickly the second, third, or whatever time around, provided one's current state of health does not act as a biochemical hindrance. As we age, we certainly do not remain the same. Thousands of natural chemicals, enzymes, and endogenous nutrients normally produced inside the body under ideal conditions begin to diminish due to oxidation and damage to our genes and cells. The great benefit of supplements is that as we age, we can add many of these missing or suboptimal factors to our diet to compensate. This is one of the most important sports nutrition principles. It is validated by science, and it's a prime example of how all of us can prevent loss of function as we age. Anyway, our brains have the capacity to store data and skills learned from the past in the form of emotion and memory. The portion of the brain associated with memory includes the cortex of the frontal, parietal, occipital, and temporal lobes, parts of the limbic system, including the hippocampus and amygdaloid nucleus, and finally, the diencephalon. Think of the first time you learned to ride a bike. As a father, I watched each of my three children move from training wheels to none. It's one of life's greatest moments, but I noticed that the transition time was different for each child and relative to their individual desire. The more they wanted to ride without training wheels, the less time it took to master the process. There was also a genetic factor relative to age. Some kids are just natural athletes, some are paralyzed by fear, and others seem to lack the coordination of kids their own age. Approval from parents and peers is also a big motivating factor. Remember that old joke about look, mom, no hands, look, mom, no feet, look, mom, no teeth? So kids look to their parents, look to their friends, and look to almost everyone for approval and say, hey, look what I can do. And then one day you grow up and it doesn't matter as much anymore and you do it for yourself. Once the ability to balance a bicycle in motion is acquired and stored in our neurons, it is never lost. There might be an initial wobbly period if we hop back on a bike 20 years after our last ride, but the brain, and not the muscle fibers that perform the work, will kick in and command the body to fulfill the desired request using whatever biomechanical systems and muscle fibers are required, provided, and this is a big one, they are still functional and in good working order. The information stored as memory is drawn from deep inside the brain, which then controls and commands everything else, including voluntary skeletal muscle fibers. And by the way, our skeletal muscles are voluntary, meaning they only respond to commands from the central nervous system and do not act of their own accord. Arms and legs, fingers and toes move only because we tell them to. In other words, they are slaves to our will and passion, which is why I hold all men and all women, including myself, individually responsible for the physical work that needs to be done to keep them functional and well. Our muscles won't tell us what to do. It works the other way around. We have got to take action, control our function, and facilitate order through discipline and desire. The education, knowledge, and information we acquire originally when we first start training is never lost. After a layoff, then, no time is wasted developing a relationship with the equipment. Like our first dinner date compared to 20 years of marriage, we don't experience the same initial stages of bumbling, shyness, formality, and integration each time we sit down for dinner. I can think of watching people coming into the gym for the very first time. They're more worried about what people are thinking than developing a relationship with the weights. And then after going through that whole phase, it no longer matters. And so they cut right to the chase. Therefore, we can get right to it without delay once we know what we're doing. After 6 months to 2 years of training for the first time, most of us develop an understanding of exercise training gained only by that initial experience. Hopefully, we have learned how to train. We get the feel of it. We learn how we respond individually to free weights, machines, cables, pulleys, weight stacks, sets and reps, and so on. It's called a learning curve, and it's a one-time deal. Remember, it's just like riding a bike. If we all knew what we now know when we first started, we could have saved ourselves a huge amount of wasted training time and energy. In other words, muscle memory is simply the retrieval of information previously learned and applied at the present time with greater efficiency. That's all it is. Physiologists know that any skeletal muscle activity that is learned can become essentially autonomic or automatic with practice. Muscle memory is therefore a common term for neuromuscular facilitation, which is the process of the neuromuscular system memorizing motor skills. We know that repetition is the mother of skill and that practice makes permanent. After repeating the same movement over and over again, the movement seemingly becomes second nature. It's like we're not paying attention, but of course, it's all coming from the same region of the brain. We are paying attention, and our brain is controlling everything. It and everything else about us works from the inside out. Our fingers and our toes don't tell us what to do. They respond to our command and fulfill it, if they're functional and if our nervous system and skeletal muscles aren't damaged. It is now well known that the effects of nutrition and training significantly influence genetic expression. The longer we carry muscle mass or excess fat, the more the body learns from that reality or physical state and recognizes it as normal. This is known as the set point theory. Our physical and mental state influence precise neurological, immunological, and hormonal feedback loops that in turn influence our state. The two are connected. The longer we sustain a certain state, the more likely the body will maintain that state. However, there are other forces outside of ourselves to contend with, for all you control freaks, such as oxidation, glycation, gravity, and entropy. And they are operating outside of your will, outside of your permission. And these are things that everybody, regardless of your income or status or education, have to contend with. Like I've said before, nature isn't prejudice. Left unattended, all lean functional mass slowly slips away because as a whole, life as we know it is primarily catabolic. It is not anabolic. We don't build up on our own as we age. We are in the process of being broken down. Catabolic means things are breaking down. So health and nutrition and training is all about creating a force, an anabolic force, a flux inside the body, which counters the catabolic forces that are always working against us and the same forces that are crumbling the pyramids and causing bridges to break down and earthquakes and volcanoes and all the rest of the stuff going on around us. One theory known as multinucleation might be related to the phenomenon of muscle memory, and this is kind of interesting. Resistance training is known to create higher numbers of nuclei in muscle fibers. These nuclei may be retained even during non-use, so that when skeletal muscle is once again exposed to resistance exercise and optimum nutrition, new protein synthesis can occur at an accelerated rate. In this case, and if this concept is true, it would seem as if we can indeed benefit from work done previously, provided during the layoff we haven't lost too much of our drive, energy, health, and function. The next time you lift a weight, ask yourself this: who's lifting the weight? The answer is always the same. Put your mind in your muscle and your muscle in your mind. Bring the two together in a single powerful thought. Thought is the substance of things. When your mind and muscle become one, you have now achieved something few people will ever experience. This is one of the keys to building a beautiful body that many of us dream of and secretly desire. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from an old Persian proverb. The best memory is that which forgets nothing except injuries. Write kindness in marble and write injuries in the dust.